If you will take your Bibles this evening, it's morning somewhere, to John chapter 19. You know, in October of 2013, California authorities closed Valley Springs Manor, and it was an elder care facility in Castro Valley due to numerous safety violations. The owners, Emma and Bobby Salogna, abandoned about 16 elderly residents. They just closed it down. They fired all the staff, and all the people were supposed to be relocated to different care facilities, but there was not other places for them to go. And so the owners said, well, we're not getting paid. We're just going to close it down, and they can fare for themselves. So despite having no elder care experience, Maurice Wowland, that was the cook, and Miguel Alvarez, the janitor, chose to stay. Alvarez, who was 34 at the time, said, we couldn't leave them with nobody. And the duo provided round-the-clock care for strangers, some with dementia, many of them needing the medicine that would help them. Rowland, who was 35, said they were like family. Their selfless acts likely saved the lives of those 16 residents that could not be moved to other places. Now, the owners would ultimately face felony elder abuse charges with a potential 17-year sentence. This was probably about 12 years ago. I couldn't find anywhere what the results of that were, but I do realize that those two were recognized by the city, and they were given great accolades and even donations and job offers when they found out they were going to be jobless after that. But I was thinking about somebody that was willing to care for someone else when there was no emotional investment there. And how much more should we be caring for our mothers on this Mother's Day? Look at verses 25 through 27, if you will. John 19, verse 25 starts, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and some of you may be thinking, I've already called my mom. I've already given her a card. We're good, right? Well, Mother's Day isn't just quite over yet. I want to ask a really simple question this evening. What did Jesus do for his mother? Now, before you answer that, think about where we are in John chapter 19. Jesus is not in the synagogue. He's not on a hillside somewhere teaching to the throngs. He's not feeding the 5,000. He's not here raising Lazarus from the dead. He is on the cross, beaten, bloodied, dying. And while he hangs there between heaven and earth, you know what he does? He takes care of his mom. Jesus took care of his mom, and so should you. The first thing I want to see tonight is Mary's faithfulness. She stood by the cross. Mary's faithfulness. Look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I mean, think about that. His mother is watching her son die slowly, painfully. And what does she do? She stays there to be an encouragement, to be support. She doesn't run. She doesn't hide. She stands. That little word stood tells us a lot. It's not just physical. I believe it's an emotional and spiritual standing as well. It took everything in her to be able to stay there in order to be there for him. Now, lest you think I'm putting her as the mother of God, I just want you to know she was a godly woman. You know, she stood in the times that he had crowds sprawling out across the seaside. She stood in love, even when she did not fully understand what was happening. And she'd hide those things in her heart and meditate on them. But she's also standing in sorrow, watching her son die that slow, agonizing death. You know, think about this. Mary was the only person that was there at Jesus' birth and at his death. And she stood by him from that first night until that last day. She held him as a baby, and now she looks upon her Savior, not only her son, but her Savior, bleeding and dying for the sins of the world, and she stood firm. Have you ever thought about how many different ways your mom has stood for you? Maybe you never really realized it or thought about it. But I think your mom has probably stood for you more times than you may know or realize. If you come from a Christian home, she's probably stood for you in prayer, in a waiting room, for some of you in the principal's office, maybe at a hospital bed, in heartache and pain, in good times and bad, at your best moments and your worst, your mother has stood by you. She loves you as only a mother could. Who stood by you? Mom did. I'm simply asking tonight, are you staying by her? Are you loving her the way that she's loved you? Mary's faithful, and she stood by the cross. She was faithful, and I think she represents a lot of moms throughout the centuries that have just stood by their children. Not only do we have Mary's faithfulness, we have obedience of a son. Obedience of, the son. He honored her in his dying breath. Look at verses 26 and 27 again. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. I'm not getting into all the gritty details, but the grammar in this is really saying this transaction is happening right now. It's not something to be meditated on. It's not something that is a continual action. It is something that is being brought to a conclusion right now. Do it. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is in the last moments of his life. He's been whipped, beaten, spat upon, mocked, nailed to a cross, and the weight of the sins of the world are resting on his shoulders. I mean, he is experiencing not only physical torment, but the wrath of God is being poured out upon him at this time as the spotless Lamb of God bearing the guilt and the sin of the world. And yet, he still sees her. He speaks to her. He honors her in his last moments. I mean, that's stunning. With his hands nailed, his back is shredded from the scourging that he received, hardly able to get a breath. The Roman crucifixion, as you know, was not only about the maximum way to inflict pain, but it was to really die by asphyxiation, to suffocate, because you cannot get the breath out once it's in. He takes time to care for one person, his mom. He doesn't just acknowledge her, he makes provision for her. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, sees the beloved disciple standing near Mary, and he says, Woman, behold thy son. He's saying, this is the one that's going to be taking care of you now. Then to John, he says, Behold thy mother. And from that time, John takes her into his home. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He steps in to care for her in Jesus' place. Now listen, sometimes I think when we're reading the Bible, we're in a hurry to get through the crucifixion and the seven sayings on the cross and all these things, and we want to skip right to the resurrection. But this is not a throwaway scene in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. It's here for a purpose and a reason. This is intentional, loving responsibility to his mother. He was fulfilling his duty as a son. Now, you have to understand the culture of this day. In this day, if the father passes, it was Jewish tradition, when the husband died, the eldest son then was responsible to care for the mother. That's oftentimes why the eldest son would receive twice the portion, I believe, so that they would have the finances available to be able to take care of a widow. So Joseph, the Lord's earthly father, is no longer mentioned in Scripture at this point. Many believe that he has passed off the scene, that he has died, and so that responsibility, that weight of responsibility would have been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he goes into eternity, even though he'll be returning, he makes sure that it's taken care of. He doesn't ignore that responsibility. He doesn't delegate that responsibility to make sure his mother's taken care of. Although he does give it to John, he doesn't say, "Would you make sure somebody takes care of this?" He doesn't procrastinate. I mean, he knew he was coming back. He could have said, "Mom, I'll take care of you when I see you in a couple days." He takes care of it right there on the cross. On the cross. I would put it this way. If the Lord Jesus Christ thought it was that important to honor his mother there in that moment as he died, how can we ever think it's unimportant to honor our mother while we live? He didn't just obey the law. He really fulfilled and demonstrated the spirit of that law. Exodus 20:12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God give it thee." Now, it's interesting to me, his life was cut short, but not because he dishonored his parents, but because he honored his heavenly father and did what the will of his father. Now, that command in Exodus is not just a Sunday school lesson. It's not just for little kids. It was for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the lawgiver, submitted to the law. He lived it from the cradle to the cross. Jesus honored Mary. He didn't just say, "I love you, Mom." He demonstrated it. How do you honor your mom? How do you demonstrate that honor? You know, I think it's easy to post a picture on some platform and say, "Love you, Mom. Thanks. Happy Mother's Day." It might be easier to buy flowers once a year or even write a card, and you should do those things. Don't leave here saying, "Pastor said I have to write a card or get my mom flowers." But honor is more than just one day. It's more than just one moment. It's a lifestyle of honoring your mother. What does your lifestyle say about your mother? Are you living in a way that would make her weep with joy or weep with grief? See, I think we can honor our mothers more than just with flowers, but with faithfulness. Be someone that she is excited to see what God is doing in your life. Be someone who lives what you claim to believe. This is the third service in a row I'm going to use this same verse. Be someone who brings her incredibly great joy. Because the Bible says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Don't tell her you love her with just a card, but with character. Be honest, be kind, be consistent. Live the lessons that she taught you growing up. Make choices that would make her proud, even if she's not around to see it. Not just with a meal, but with meekness. Show respect. Don't talk over her. Don't disrespect her. Don't dismiss her advice like it's out of date. I can look back and see my mom's advice in many, many areas still isn't expired. You know one thing about your mom, as long as she's here, she's been a little bit further down the road of life than you have. By the way, she's loved you longer than anyone else has as well. And so I'm saying, don't just give lip service, thanks, Mom. Have a thankful heart to God for the mother that He's given you. Because I think a grateful heart, when you have that grateful spirit, it changes the way that you speak to someone. It changes how you listen to them and how you respond when she gives you advice, even when it's unsolicited. See, texting Mom that I love you once a week doesn't make you a godly child. But living a life that brings honor to her sacrifice does. What sacrifice? I read this phrase earlier this week. She cared for you at her cost. Are you caring for her at yours? I don't know any mother that has not given up sleep to be a mother. But it's not just sleep. It's time, hobbies, goals for you. For you. She sacrificed money, meals, probably a vacation or two for you. You know what happens? Oftentimes, the more we grow up, the easier it is to forget what she sacrificed. Sometimes because you're sacrificing yourself. Don't do that. I hope you care about your mother. I hope you call her back if you're able to hug her. Thank your mom more than you think you should. Have you ever heard the phrase, listen to someone with both of your ears? It means to pay good attention to what your mom has to say. Give her honor. Speak with her. Excuse me, speak of her with honor. Even when she's not around. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, honored His mother. And I say, if the Lord Jesus says this is a non-negotiable, so should we. You say, you don't know my mom. I don't. But the Lord does. And He still commanded you to honor her. Have Mary's faithfulness, she stood by the cross. You have the obedience of the Son, He honored her in His dying breath. But there's also a mandate for the disciple. He made her His own. Look at the second part of verse 27. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. There's no ceremony, it wasn't flashy, it wasn't a public proclamation. It was really, even though they were in the public, it was more of a private instruction. The Lord didn't ask John to feed 5,000 people after he was gone. He didn't ask him to perform any kind of miracle. He didn't even ask him to write a best-selling book that is probably more read than any other book in the history of the world, although he did that. The Lord simply asked him to take care of somebody that he loved. Jesus gave John a simple, sacred task. Take care of my mom. And John did it. He obeyed. He didn't wait. He obeyed from that hour. John didn't say, well, Lord, let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. Well, the Lord didn't have any time for him to get back. He didn't say, let me finish up a few things. Let me finish renovating my house. Let me get the guest bedroom ready. Let me see if it fits into my budget. There's no excuses. By the way, there was no delays. There's no debate. From that hour, immediately, willingly, obediently, he takes Mary into his own home, into his life. Really, I believe into his heart. He was going to love her as his own mom. That's what real obedience looks like, by the way. Not tomorrow obedience. Not convenient obedience, but immediate obedience. John took ownership of someone else's burden. You say, that's not very nice to call Mary a burden. I'm sure she was a blessing. But there would have been things that would have been inconvenient for John. John could have easily said, Lord, that's not my mom. That's not my mom. That's not my responsibility. Isn't there someone else that can do that? No, John, I'm asking you to do that. Instead, John said, if that is what the Lord asked me to do, I'll do it. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's the definition of a disciple, to care what Jesus cares about, to love who Jesus loves, and to serve even when it's hard, when it's inconvenient, when it doesn't directly benefit you. Obedience isn't about what is easy. It's about what is right. Think about it. Jesus didn't trust his mother to just anyone. He didn't pick a sibling. I thought that was interesting. He didn't hand her off to the crowd. He chose John, the one who leaned on his chest, the one whom he loved, the one who stayed at the cross. Why? I think this, because those who stay close to the Lord get trusted with what matters most to him. You want to be used of the Lord? You want God to place responsibilities in your hands? Then stay near the cross. Stay faithful when others are walking away. Be someone the Lord can trust. I wonder if you're willing to take someone in. No, I'm not taking applications. But I want to apply this truth. You see, you may not be called to take someone into your home, not at this time anyways, but you are called to take people into your life. Are you willing to step up when others are kind of receding and step back? Are you willing to carry a burden that isn't yours, but the Lord gives it to you? Sometimes there's people that need a ride to church. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful we have a church full of people that have gone and go out and pick them up. But I'm wondering if the Lord would have you to help with that. Maybe it's just loving your sibling when they're annoying. Maybe you just want them to love you when you're annoying. What about the bus kids who show up on Sunday or Wednesdays? Will you talk to them? Will you love them because they matter? I believe this. Real discipleship always leads to real sacrifice. Real discipleship always leads to real sacrifice. And I believe the Lord is still whispering, hey, take care of her. Love this guy. Encourage this person. Take that burden. And he's not waiting for you to be in the spotlight and for everyone to see you take this burden. Some big, flashy, yes, self-congratulating. He's waiting for your faithful, obedient yes. Just like John. John took her. He never looked back. There's no record of John complaining. We don't really think that John would complain. And most of us, maybe even in our heart, think, I wouldn't complain if the Lord gave me that responsibility. But let me tell you what else we don't see John ever doing. He never brags about it either. That's probably more what I would do. Oh, praise the Lord. I was able to take Mary in when the Lord asked me to directly. Me. And I know it's arguing from silence, but we never see him reneging on that responsibility. He never dropped the ball. He simply obeyed faithfully, quietly, completely. And I'll tell you, friends, in a world that is chasing influence, a world that really it wants to be acknowledged for everything that they ever do, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, he's still just looking for people who will choose to obey. So tonight I want you to remember your mom. M-O-M, Mary's faithfulness, the obedience of the Son, the mandate for the disciple. She stood by the cross. She was faithful. Let's be faithful. Let's look at the Lord's obedience. and honor our mothers. He honored her in his final breath. We should honor ours because it pleases the Lord to do so. And the mandate for the disciple, he obeyed. I hope that you'll let your life be a living thank you, both to your mom, but ultimately to the Lord. And maybe your mom's not here anymore. I really hope, even in your heart, you cultivate that heart of and spirit of gratitude for the mom that he allowed you to have. Because ultimately, the thanks that you give to your mom is really the thanks that you give to God for the mom that he's given you. Praise the Lord for her memory, her legacy, and I think you can still choose to live a life that makes her proud and pleases the Lord. Maybe tonight, you need to ask the Lord to help you to honor your mother. Maybe even to care for her in these later years. Or maybe you just need to come tonight and thank the Lord for your mother. Commit to the Lord to show her the thanks and the gratitude and the honor that she deserves, not just with your words, but with your life. Will you pray with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, if I'm honest with the Lord, honest with myself, and honest with you, I'd have to say I'm not really been honoring my mother. But God's reminded me of my responsibility, my duty, but also my privilege to show her my love and to honor her, even as the Lord did. If that's you tonight, will you let me pray for you? Just put your hand up and put it right back down. I need to honor my mom. I've not been, but I need to. Maybe tonight you just need to be reminded to be thankful for your mom. Now, I'm not just talking to the young people. I'm talking to every one of us to be thankful to the Lord for the mom that he gave us and to her if she's still with us. Father, I do thank you for mothers. On a day that's set aside to remember the sacrifice and the love and the life that they pour into us. And Lord, a house with a godly mother, the Bible even says, is sanctified. We thank you for the women of Maranatha Baptist Church that you've allowed to be mothers, their heart for their children. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to honor our mother and the mothers that are in our lives, our wives, for those that have daughters that are now mothers. We thank you. Thank you for moms. Help us to be grateful. Help us to honor them even as you have commanded us, even as you have demonstrated. Father, we thank you for that example. We thank you for mothers. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.